Mr. Wright, Reel 4. We were talking about the aftermath of this attack on the Hill. Could you just explain? So you sent a green envelope off. And,
yes.
And what happened?
Well, that got back to the wife the same time as the postman delivered the envelope Sarah was missing.
Do you know which she read first?
No, she couldn't tell you, see. She naturally took the telegram as being the last one, you see, not the green envelope. Anyway, the next attack...
Can I ask just what had happened to all these missing men and the officer? Where had they gone?
Well, they'd just gone back.
It sounds like their morale wasn't very good.
There was no morale at all. It was absolutely rock bottom. Now, the next attack was a company attack, and the company commander's name was Sullivan. I remember that distinctly.
Your company commander.
Yes, yes.
Morris had been... How had he been hurt then? He'd been killed... injured on a motorcycle accident.
Oh, we didn't live from him for a long time. No, he went to hospital somewhere, you know. And this other attack with Sullivan, who was company commander, was a night attack. Two platoons forward and one platoon back, and I was the last platoon. The other two were forward, and they got to the top of the hill, and Sullivan lit a cigarette, and he stopped one straight through there, and everybody poured down. The captain's been killed, or the captain's been hit, and I was knocked down. I was knocked down by the men streaming back.
So this poor morale was just... So what happened there? You were knocked down.
But
did you follow them back? I suppose you had to.
Well, they went back. You see, you had no option. I had a worse affair than that.
So this is still in Africa.
Then eventually, I had a lifesaver, a chappy named Reg Oliver. He was a marvellous man. Reg Oliver. He was a sergeant, I think, in the Lincolns, and he'd been made up in the field, and platoon commander, you see, and then another chap who was a platoon commander. His name was Naylor, John Willie Naylor. And
was he an officer or a sergeant?
He was an officer. Yes, Ollie was an officer. John Willie Naylor apparently had been captured, wounded. The end of the African pain, and was on a ship in the Algiers, ready to be shipped to hospital, and he was taken off, and he came to us. And always a most depressing little man. He was he was pale, and he said, "Oh, I shan't see this through. I shan't see this through."
Now, were they good platoon commanders, Naylor and Oliver?
Well, Naylor wasn't with us long enough for me to know, but Ollie was par excellent. Ollie was. Anyway, we were out of the line, and John Willie Naylor was up at the door like this, sort of tumble down old cottage, and a shell dropped in front of him. Chappie came down and said, "Oh, please, will you come and see Mr. Naylor? He's just been killed." I said, "God, I can't get on, Ollie. You go and have a look at him." So Ollie went to look at him, and he came back with his papers and his watch. He said, "I had to dig down to his chest to get his watch out." But anyway, that was John Willie Naylor. And then that left Ollie and myself, you see. And our next business was Effort wanted this hill. It was a horrible hill, awful of granite-like rocks. And he said, there are only two of you, he said. He said, do a recce and make up your mind which is going to do the attack and who's going to do the follow-up. So we set off, and Ollie went first, and he went to one crag, and then another, and then I followed him up. And the next crag he went to, he got up to run, and there was a bang, and he went straight down. And a bullet, it hit him there, and not touched his backbone. That left me in charge of the company. And Edward said, well, if no good, I've got to have this hill. He said, I'll give you £25 creeping barrage, as if that helps. And anyway, we did this.
This was a company attack.
Fun.
A company attack, B company attack.
That was B company attack.
And
we were two platoons, really, two big platoons. And that was Ollie. Ollie was carted off to hospital. And I got halfway up. And one of these 25 pounders dropped short. And the fellow who picked up this accordion, he was pretty badly wounded. And a couple of them were lying alongside of us. No good, you can't do anything. Come on we go. And we got to the top of the hill, and there were one or two 88s through status and the odd pop. And I remember snatching a Bren gun away from a chappie. And the last German going down the hill, I fired after him. that was that. And that was the end of that attack. So I was the last one left in the company again.
So this was during the advance on Tunis, the advance along the North African coast on Tunis, these incidents,
that's
these
right,
hills.
Yeah.
Anything else before you got to Tunis?
No, because I went down with the appendix, you see. And when I got back, Paddy had gone to his battalion.
This is your friend.
I looked around, I thought, well, it's taken me ages to get to know the odd bod and odd chances. I'll stop. It was a right decision, too, because Paddy was badly wounded in Sicily, and Alex Mives was killed outright at a brigade.
So you joined them. You joined them after the big parade at things.
Oh, yeah.
What happened next then, the next period?
Well, it was rather funny, really. Having this appendix, it was an emergency one. It was a tented hospital, you see. And I'd had this all since I was about 11. And I remember waking up and I thought, well, they haven't done it. And I could feel a little patch about it like that. And I said to the doctor, well, haven't you done it? He said, oh, yes. He said, you're a lucky chap. He said, I put my finger in. He said, there was on top. He said, others, I've had to get my arm in up to the elbow, you know. So anyway, I thought, all appendix must be in those days, of course. It used to be 3 months for the outside to heal and 6 months for the inside. I thought, must be all right for a week or two. So every second day I was moved down by ambulance, you see, and eventually I got to Algiers, and we unloaded the lorry, and I remember a chappie coming to take my small kit. I hadn't got much left anyway, and he plumped it on the bed. And I've forgotten his name. I remembered it well enough then. But all I got was a side hat, roll eye shoes, layers, a dress hat, shorts, long stockings. that they call Sant Shoes Pump Show, and the top half I've got Pip on my shoulder, nothing on the other. You see, we were pretty desperate straits at the time, and we just loading our kit. It was just the ward orderly was just loading our kit onto beds, and he said, "Well, there's a passion wagon going into Aldiers. You want to be on it?" So of course we said, "Roll it straight away." So we got on this passion wagon, and I remember we I went to the officers' club. I hadn't got much money because we hadn't seen a field cashier for ages, and I stopped and had a drink, and I met this fellow Palmer, Philip Palmer, who was a Sherwood Forester. What he was doing down there, I don't know. But I remember trying to find out who he was and what he was. But all the S Company commander would say, "He was my friend, he was my friend." In other words, I think he put up a bit of a black somewhere and he didn't want to discuss it, you see. And anyway, we went and had a drink in the officers' club, and we were just coming out. We decided that we got enough money to go to the pictures, you see. And we were just coming out, and somebody shouted, "Hi, Johnny, where are you going?" A fellow named Smithy, I'd been a doctor with. "He said, we're going to the cinema." He said, "God's sake, go to there, come and have a drink." I said, "I haven't got enough money for a drink." He said, "Oh, forget it, I've got some money." And I said to this Philip Palmer, "Do you mind if I go back with Smithy? He said, "No, I'll see you." And I went back with Smithy, and I probably had more drink than I could carry, because we hadn't had much at all, you see. And I said cheerio to Smithy, and I thought, better make my way back to the cinema to see Philip there. And on the way down, I met little Arab boy stopped me selling war cries, you know. And I remember buying a war cry, and I went on further down, and there was a clump. Somebody said, "Excuse me, sir." I looked around, there were a couple of MPs, you see. "So, can we see your particulars?" So I said, "Yes." So I put my hand in my pocket, I got nothing. Nothing at all. I rang a little Harrow boy out there, you know. So I told him what had happened, you know. They were words to the effect like, "Oh, that master, a likely story." Anyway, I went on my way, and then a bit further down, there's a clump again. "Excuse me, sir." It was a CN, it was an MP corporal. "Come along with me, sir." So of course I went along with him very smartly, and I went in front of a major. I see him now, he's a man with a crooked nose. But I got to tell another likely story for him. And they pushed me inside, you see. So I spent several hours in Chokey, and then eventually it transpired that I said what had happened, and it transpired that my name had eventually gone onto the books at the hospital as being admitted, you see. And I was released with a little slip of paper to prove I was an officer. But I lost that somewhere.
How long were you back in Algiers? How long were you back there in Algiers Hospital?
Well, I had a fortnight convalescence, and I had a fortnight at a place just outside Algiers, a seaside place called Chemin Plage, and one morning I had terrible pains. And they thought I might have a lesion or something like that, you see. So anyway, I went back to the hospital, they did a shunt scope, and the major said, "Oh, you're okay, right?" He said, IRT tomorrow. I said, IRT, sir. I said, oh, in a fortnight, can't believe that. You're bloody lucky, right, IRT. So, of course, I was back with the battalion then, and I can remember I was not all that robust then. I can remember that they were training to go to Salerno, you see, and I remember the batman pushing me up an incline with his rifle in the park because I couldn't make it, you know.
Did you have an officer's servant? Did you have an officer's servant, a batman?
Oh, yes.
What did they do for you, and how did you get on with them?
They did everything for me except make my bed. Nobody could make a bed to my own satisfaction.
So they'd clean all your kit?
Oh, yes. Yes. What was to clean? I mean, when we were in the desert, there was only sand.
How did you get on with your servant? Do you remember? How did you get on with your servant? Do you remember who he was?
Oh yes, we got on very, got on very well with him. I've forgotten his name.
Do you remember much about the training for going over on the Salerno invasion?
The training. well, very, very little apart from the norm. Except that we were given a map apiece, and I carried it about with me for years, and then I lost it. And our point of landing, there was a white tower. I thought, good God, we've hit the right place, you know. And we...
Do you remember the crossing?
Pardon?
The crossing.
Yes, the crossing.
What do you remember of that?
That wasn't too bad at all. No, it wasn't too bad at all. Until we actually got to the shores of Salerno, and we were on not tank mounting cars, the other little things. That's what they remember from. But once we started to get ashore, then he opened up with all sorts of things. They cleared most of the shore. We were about the third wave. And I can remember the ship on our left. They weren't tank landing crafts, but troop carrying things, almost like a tank landing craft.
Infantry landing craft, yes. Yes.
And they got the bows down and you jumped out in about that much water, and they were American, and one ship, there was an 88 whistle straight through it, and they pulled out straight away, straight back. Yes, I can remember when we got ashore, there was a bit of a noise going on and so forth, and I remember the beach master. Said, oh, I said, fish show and foresters. He said, follow that Beaufort's gun. You know, the old Beaufort's gun was going bump, bump, bump. And we followed that and eventually got to where we should be. But it was a bit chaotic. Nobody knew much about it.
Now, you were still with B Company.
Yes, I was still.
And who was your major by then? Do you remember? It's all right. What about your platoon sergeant? Who was your platoon sergeant?
Knight. Stan Knight. He died 2 or 3 years back.
What was he like?
Oh, jolly nice fellow. Yes, nice fellow.
What was the division of responsibilities in action between you, the second lieutenant, and someone like Stan Knight, the sergeant?
Sergeant, well... He took over if you got knocked out, or he did what you told him to. You know, he said, "Right, I'm going to do so. You take a platoon there." And he was my second in command.
And so you got inland, and what happened next then? You'd moved inland and got to your objective. What happened next then?
Well, we moved inland, and there was a lot of scuffling about. And, of course, it was a bit chaotic because. Had it not been for ships out at sea, and the monitors, the Americans would have pulled out. If they pulled out, it would have been abandoned. But anyway, everybody stuck it. I think the American commander's name was Lucas. Corncob Charlie, they called him. He smoked a corncob pipe. And he wanted to pull out. And he made another disastrous affair up in Anzio. But anyway, that's overrunning the tale. Eventually, we sort of got settled down and we moved inland and collected ourselves a bit.
Are there any particular incidents you remember from that time? Are there any particular incidents you remember from that time?
I remember being in, actually, in Salerno, and I went up to see the dock for something. I forgot what it was. In his little cottage there on the main street, and a couple of Germans on a motorcycle came storming down this street, and they got past one of our tanks that was lined up for a bit of cover, and they skidded on a bit of oil from the tank. And they were captured, and they said they come down looking for food. Nobody had got there.
And what's the next?
Italians weren't well fed there. They were like the French. A lot of them welcomed us, and others didn't like us. They were doing all right, Jack, with the Germans, you know. Funny setup that we were sometimes.
And what's the next thing you remember?
Fun.
What's the next thing you remember? You at Salerno, after Salerno. There's the advance towards Naples, wasn't there?
After Salerno, I said we did this little thing.
What's that?
It was very patchy. I thought very patchy after Salerno, and eventually we got a bit further inland, and this chappie, Ollie had come back by then. He'd come back from hospital. Ollie had come back.
This is Reg Oliver.
Yes, Reg Oliver, I was stuck on a hill with a platoon, and we'd been reinforced by the Royal Welsh Fusiliers that had the black bandana thing on under the cape, if you know. And there were slip trenches all the way around this position. Tony Lord was further over on the left. He was a company commander of C Company, I think it was. And one of the early shells blew away the camouflage of this 6-pounder. And we had a real hammering after that of 3-inch mortars. And I remember one coming through the roof, and it blew the end of the house out one side, and the batman was wounded. I said, "Any volunteer for a batman?" And one chappie said, "I'll have a go, sir. It's a chance me luck." His name was Collins, and he stayed with me all through then. Anyway, We were hammered at that position by these mortars. And
what was it like under mortar fire? What was it like under mortar fire? I mean, it's not...
What was it like?
What was it like, yes, under mortar fire?
Oh, it was a terrible weapon, terrible weapon. Particularly if you were on hard ground. It wasn't bad in the desert because the sand stopped fragments flying. But in Italy, where there's so much stone and hard ground about, all the cattle is terrible. It's a terrible weapon. I was only afraid of two things, really. I was afraid lots of times. I was mostly afraid of gas and being badly knocked about so that life wouldn't be worth living. But anyway, I was fortunate. As I say, we had a real belting of these 3-inch mortars, and there's a chappy screaming out, and I said, oh, for God's sake, somebody go and get him in. And nobody dared move. I said, come on, Collins, give me a hand. I went and fetched him in, and he was a little Welshman. And funnily, you remember these things, his name was Jenkins. And he said, oh, it's me leg, so it's me leg. So I looked, couldn't see any blood. And I set his trouser up and I couldn't see any blood. And he started to cough and I turned him over. And there was a hole in his jersey like that. Blood bubbling through, so I knew he got it in the lungs, you see. Anyway, we did our best to get him back. Whether he lived or not, I don't know, but... Funny, those things, they stick in your mind, don't they? His name was Jenkins, I shall never forget it.
And he thought he'd been wounded in the leg?
He thought he'd been, well, you see, shock, you don't know where you are, really. When I was shot up, I got what they call a drop foot.
Right, well, we will come to that. So what's the next thing you remember after this position on the
after,
hill?
After that,
do you know the name of the hill?
Pardon?
Do you know the name of this hill?
No, never. Only one hill I knew the name of. And we never got to that. We carried on then various thinly bobs until we came to training for the Volturno. That's where they sorted the men from the boys there on the Volturno. We had casualties, 17 officers and 400 men.